Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Summer is a time when many people get outdoors and they go camping. Maybe some of you have a camping trip lined up. Well, when it comes to Susan and I, we have slightly different concepts of what it means to go camping. Mine involves a tent and hers involves a hotel. Camping for me is all about living in the great outdoors and laying out under the stars. Susan's idea of camping requires indoor plumbing and air conditioning. My vision of camping, since I'm a fisherman, includes a lake. Hers would include a shower. Yet no matter what kind of trip we take together, we do have this one thing in common. Eventually, we both get tired of living out of suitcases, or backpacks if I had it my way. And yet, whether we camp out in a four-star hotel or in a primitive hut, at some point we both begin to miss home. No matter how scenic the sites where we're staying, no matter how much fun we're having, after about 2 weeks, we just want to go home and sleep in our own bed again and enjoy the surroundings and comfort of home. For our home and our life are here in Champaign. Now that's true for just about everyone. No matter what type of camping you may enjoy, whether it's living out of a plush RV or in a pup tent, eventually every one of us longs for something more permanent, that place we call home. After all, home is your permanent residence. It's where you live. It's where your life is. You're comforted by your home's permanence. You know it will always be there, and you can always retreat to it to feel safe and secure. But a tent is a less than permanent structure. It's transitory. It goes up quickly and it comes down quickly, especially in a storm. A tent may be fun for a few weeks, but it's not where you want to live the rest of your life. Nor should Christians wish to make this body and this life their permanent home. Would you really want to be housed in the body you're in forever? Now, the Apostle Paul was a religious scholar, but he also had to learn a profitable trade, and so he was a tent maker. He earned money for his missionary journeys by making tents for people. Only in Paul's day, people didn't camp out in tents for recreational purposes as they do today, but instead, theirs was a nomadic way of life that was very hard. Nomads lived in their tents for their entire lifetimes, and they constantly moved about with their flocks and herds in search of food and water in hot and arid climates. But being a tent maker must have given some time for Paul to reflect and to think about these nomadic, wandering people that he made these tents for. And this undoubtedly led Paul to use this tent metaphor that we see in today's lesson. For here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul compares our present earthly bodies to tents. Paul says, "We know that if this tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." The building Paul is referring to and the home we Christians long for are our resurrected and immortal bodies, which we will receive when Christ returns to this earth. For just like living in a tent, Paul understood that in this earthly body, we are only living a temporary existence. According to Paul, our true home, the place where we should long to be, is to be at home with the Lord in our resurrected flesh. For nothing that you can see or touch or own or possess in this life is permanent. For all too soon, all of this that we can see will pass away, and so will we. And yet many times, we Christians live like our unbelieving neighbors, without paying much thought to the brevity of life. And like them, we become earthbound, and we begin to focus almost entirely on the accumulation of material possessions that are intended to make this life feel permanent. Why would we want to imitate those who live without Christ? They live only for this life, sadly believing that this life is all that there is. Since they are uncertain of an afterlife, they fool themselves into thinking that this body, this life, this existence is their permanent home. But as Christians, we know better. To counter this attitude, the Apostle Paul reminds Christians that we are not to get too attached to this body or this life. For your body and this life are not your permanent address. For in this body and life, the Christian is just camping out. The body you now occupy, very much like a tent, is only a temporary dwelling that is hosting your spirit. And so, unlike the rest of the world, which does not have this hope, we Christians must not cling to this body and life so much. Our Christian hope is not to live in this body forever, nor is it our hope to escape this body as if somehow it were evil. Our hope is not to become some kind of disembodied spirit floating around on the clouds in some kind of ethereal version of heaven. But instead, the Bible says we are in hope, looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. The home, heaven is home for those whom God has declared righteous through faith in Jesus. And we can't wait to get there. For again, life is really just camping out. Think about a miserable camping experience. And after about 50 itchy, swollen mosquito bites, on top of a bad sunburn and a rash caused by poison oak, you're ready to break down the tent, pack the car, and head for home. In the same way, the more discomfort that we Christians experience in this body and life through illness or affliction and various kinds of earthly heartache, the more we begin to look forward to going home to be with the Lord and living in our resurrected bodies. For the Spirit of the Lord gives our hearts this guarantee that He is going to provide us with glorious human bodies that have a perfect physical appearance. On the last day and throughout eternity, our resurrected bodies will be as real as Jesus's resurrected body. Jesus's resurrected body, in fact, is the best description of what our glorified and resurrected bodies will be like. For just like Jesus, we will not be ghosts after the resurrection. We will be real people with real bodies, living in a real world that God has prepared for us. In Scripture, God refers to a new heaven and a new earth where the resurrected live. It's very possible that heaven will be something on the order of a new and redesigned version of earth, only much better. And this would make the next life much more familiar to us than we generally suppose of it now when we think of heaven. Based on my reading of Scripture, I believe that the next life will be remarkably the same as this life, but at the same time, wonderfully different and far better due to the absence of sin. And likewise, our resurrected bodies will be remarkably the same as the mortal bodies we live in now, only wonderfully different and far more glorious in that they cannot be disfigured by age or by accident, nor will they be disproportionate in size or deformed or diseased or die or ever be destroyed. So why aren't all Christians just lined up, ready, and chomping at the bit to go to heaven? Well, one reason that isn't discussed much in church is that many of you Christians out there secretly worry that you will be bored in heaven. That's because we find it very difficult as sinful mortals to comprehend how life in heaven, in the absence of sin, can be anything else but dull and boring. We assume that sin is what makes this life fun and exciting. I know it's true that many of the things that bring sinful humans pleasure in this life are sinful. But our sinful minds have things twisted and turned around, and our thinking is distorted if we think that it is sin that makes this life interesting and worth living. It's not sin, but it is our very creative Creator who makes the next life new and exciting. And it's not God, but sin that makes your present life often seem boring and meaningless. Now, the vast majority of sinners can still find some purpose for living, some reason apart from God. But even so, I would say that life only finds its true meaning and eternal happiness when we fix our eyes on Jesus and the hope that is laid up for us in heaven. The God who made everything in this life that is good certainly knows how to make another new existence for us that is without sin and yet is stimulating and challenging and rewarding and engaging and adventuresome and eventful. Knowing this, our hope isn't that our life on this earth will never come to an end, but instead, all true Christians pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." As we look forward to the day of the resurrection of all flesh and the life of the world to come, or as Paul puts it in our lesson, we know that while we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. The other drawback to heaven from the human perspective is that dying part. We fear the prospect of dying and the process of dying. Paul says that it makes us feel naked to lose this body, this tent, even though by faith we know we are going to receive an eternal body we can call home forever. Paul says death is like changing clothes. At the moment of death, it's like you have taken off the old clothes and not yet put on the new clothes. And it's this awkward in-between moment between being unclothed and clothed when we are naked that makes us feel vulnerable and uneasy, says St. Paul. Think of death like changing clothes while you're outdoors camping. Certain apprehension about doing that. There's an awkwardness to it, a fear of being caught off guard and caught by surprise while we are naked. So it is with death. Death is that intermediate step in between the shedding of our old skin and being clothed in our new resurrected flesh. And yet, my friends, it is necessary. For God's word declares that flesh and blood, as it is now, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because of sin, our mortal bodies are quite unsuitable for all of the wonderful things that God has planned for us in the next life. For this reason, the body must die because of sin, and yet our spirit lives on because of Jesus. Ever since sin entered the world, sin has corrupted what God originally intended for our body. Sin has not only corrupted our hearts, but it has corrupted the whole physical creation, so that everything has become affected by sin. Sin has made this life such that even if you are healthy in this moment, you can be dead in the next heartbeat. As a consequence of sin, our mortal bodies hurt and they feel pain. Our bodies age and they ache. Our bodies get diseased and they die. And so at best, this body can provide temporary housing and shelter for every baptized and believing soul. We therefore need to understand that Christians are only camping out in this body and life until we die and until the time that God resurrects our mortal bodies on that last day, making them immortal. The Bible doesn't give us many details about it, but on this the Bible is clear that whatever our bodies are, they will be just like the immortal, invincible, and indestructible body of Jesus after his own triumphant resurrection from the dead. Like his resurrected bodies, our new bodies will be pure and perfect and permanent places in which your personality will dwell forever. For the body that you will be receiving is not the temporary, the inadequate shelter of a tent, but an eternal home, or as Paul puts it, a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God grant this faith unto you all. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.